All right, Barker, let's get to the matter at hand. What's Mason McCoy doing up here if he's not at third base in that situation?
That's a great question. I think the only person that looked to me like wasn't thinking that was John Snyder. Like, I have no idea. Like, Alejandro Kirk, all of a sudden, he's a speedster? Can he run faster down the line? I've never seen it. I don't understand it either. There's parts of the season where you can point the finger, and it's obvious for me this is one of those spots where, I mean – if Brandon Belt is not available, who cares? It's not like Alejandro Kirk's wearing it out. August has got two RBIs. Like, what? Who cares? It's like you take your runs when you can get them, especially when your team is having trouble scoring them. And I just don't get it. And, oh, by the way, did anybody see Kevin Biscio trying to steal third base with the leadoff hitter in a 3-0 count?
Yeah, bizarre.
What is going on? I don't understand what is happening.
Yeah, it is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. A confused Jeff Blair. Probably not a confused Kevin Barker, but a confused Jeff Blair. I know that's kind of my default position. 5-4, the Jays losing to the Washington Nationals. Two and three in five games against the Guardians and the Nationals with the season on the line for the Blue Jays. I mean, look, they're shorthanded. No Bo Bichette. He's on the IL. No Matt Chapman. I don't even know where to begin here. What Kevin and I were talking about in the eighth inning, a run in on a wild pitch. You've got a guy behind the plate in Keibert Ruiz who's just not a very good defensive catcher right now. You've got a runner in third base. You need runs. You're not scoring a lot of runs. It's Alejandro Kirk. You brought a guy up today in Mason McCoy because he can do one thing. He can steal bases for you. And you leave Alejandro Kirk at third base. You get a double play, an 8-2 double play. You know, Jacob Young, the center fielder, young center fielder. I'll tell you what, I was with actually beside the Nationals beat corps. Beat writers when that play happened, and they both, one of them, Mark, just looked at me like that. They had no idea what the hell was going on. It was just a brutal loss. I hate to say this, but you cannot manage Alejandro Kirk's lack of foot speed on a lineup that's got very few people hitting. You just can't. Like, I can find me somebody to roll over to the right side of the diamond who's fast, right? And, it was a tough loss.
They had the bases loaded with nobody out with your 2-3-4 coming up, and they got one run. Well, how many times we've seen Vladdy roll over something to the left side of the infield? Today is just, sometimes I think it's one of those games where it's just a tough watch. Berríos is due for a couple of those in and out starts, right? Where just the release point's not there.
Two whiffs tonight.
Yeah, it just wasn't there. You could tell he was searching for things. He's been searching for things in August. Like, he's due for one of those months where just mechanically thinking, he's out there. Like, he's trying to grind through it and give him everything he's got, right? The lefty hit a home run off a good fastball. The righty with the two-seamer, that's a ball that most good right-handed hitters should all hammer. They did hammer it. Sort of that's the way the month's going for Berríos, but man alive. Like, bases loaded, nobody out with 2-3-4 coming up. You get one run. Like, sometimes you just no excuse for it.
No, and that is the case tonight. 416-870-0590, *591, AAA-666-0590. Let's get to the phone lines. A lot of folks have a lot to say, no surprise. Josh in Bowmanville, you're our leadoff hitter, or I guess our leadoff caller.
Good day, gentlemen. How are you doing?
I've seen better baseball games in my life.
Yeah, we spoke. I've been talking. We spoke in late May about runners in scoring position, and we thought that would dissolve.
1-for-11 tonight.
Yeah, that's not that bad, right? We can win World Series with that. My question.
Yeah, if the one's a grand slam.
exactly to my point. My question here, guys, all respect to Dan Schulman, best in the league by far. We're so lucky to have him. But when he says we're going to the bottom of the ninth, hopefully Babe Schneider can get up the plate. And, yeah, he strikes out. I get it. You know what I mean? But then Vladdy comes up. This is our guy. We've invested more money into this team than the history of our organization. He can't even get one into the grass. My question to you guys, we're sitting here. You know, okay, maybe we sneak in, but let's face it. We don't sneak in. Are we going to keep going with the core of Vladdy and Bo? Or do we try and dish one of these guys? In my opinion, you don't dish Bo. He's led the league the past half, almost 3 years, his average. Do you dish Bo? Or, sorry, Vlad? And say, oh, what, this isn't working? Because I'm sitting here tonight, guys, and he comes up, and it's just like, how many times do we have to see this? And maybe it's a bad year. Maybe it's a bad year. But if this is our core and this is our window and this is the team on paper and it's not working, are we going to do the same thing next year and hope it works?
Listen, I appreciate the call, man. I cannot believe we're having this discussion on August 29th, and I'm not criticizing you because I've found myself thinking about this for the past month or month and a half. Josh, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, I think if this team doesn't make the playoffs with this type of pitching, and frankly, until this point in the season, very almost disgustingly good health. If this team can't make the playoffs, I mean, I think you need to do a deep dive into this team. There are going to be changes automatically. Matt Chapman, I think we can say, is not coming back. I don't think Kevin Kiermaier will be back. I don't think Brandon Belt will be here. They got a decision to make on Whit Merrifield. Vladdy and Bo are going to be here. I'm not saying if it's me, I wouldn't not entertain a possible trade, but I don't think this front office will do that. And, Kevin, I don't know how you feel, but, again, this is coupled with that playoff loss to Seattle. This team's really disappointing. This team is if they don't make the playoffs, it's going to have been a tough 12 months for Blue Jays fans.
Yeah, I think it's how Vladdy gets out for me. That's the tough watch, right? You talk about elite hitters. You talk about them mentally and physically. They should be able to make the adjustment quicker than the Barkers of the world. The lesser hitters of the world have trouble with making in-game adjustments, and they tend to do the same thing over and over again. Consistently, when Vladdy gets out, it's to the left side of the infield on the ground. I just don't understand why that is, right? I get it. He's got maybe some mechanical issues with the connection of the hands and the lower half. But, man alive, this has been going on for 5 months. Like, it just didn't start happening the first day of August. This has been happening for almost 5 months now. It is very confusing. Like, I think everything we know, he's not hurt. I thought it was the first thing. Is he hurt? Is he trying to overcompensate
for something?
I'm almost at the
point. I got to tell you the truth, Kev. I'm almost at the point where I'm hoping he's hurt. Because at least at the end of the year, if I find out he's going to need surgery and something, I can look back and go, well, okay. But
I was there.
Is this healthy, Vlad?
I was on the field Friday. I asked seven coaches. All seven coaches told me he was healthy. But
Hayden in Belgrave, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing Blue Jays talk after a 5-4 loss to the Nationals. That's how I'll put it.
I just have a couple questions. First of all, I just want to get your opinion on if our starting pitching is burnt out. I've noticed, like, I remember Kevin Gausman going 7-8 innings and Jose Barrios going deep into games, and it seems like they're going 5 innings and stuff like that. So I don't know. I just want to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, listen, Hayden, I appreciate the call. I don't know if I'd use the phrase burned out, but I'm thinking back to what Kevin Gausman said yesterday. And they haven't been pitching with the lead a great deal. And I'm not making excuses for the pitchers here, but I look at what this pitching staff has kind of done. You know, what they've had to put up with the Manoah nonsense and the indecision surrounding him. And You know, waiting for Hyunjin Ryu to come back, that's nobody's fault. But these guys have put up with a lot this year. They've logged a lot of innings with pitching either tied or with no run support or just barely ahead. And, I mean, I'm sorry. I wouldn't use the phrase burnt out. You know, I might – frustrated and tired maybe.
Yeah, August.
I don't blame them.
They're averaging a little over 4 runs a game. Like, they understand that if they give up a 2-run homer in the second and a 3-run homer in the fifth, that game's probably over. Like, that's basically where they're at. And having Kevin come out and say that it's been a mental grind and you know, every single pitch matters from the first pitch of the first inning to whenever they go out, yeah, they're grinding it. Like, they're trying to make the perfect pitch. You could tell a little bit. I don't know about you, Jeff, but you could tell Jose was aiming some pitches.
Yes, he was.
Like, he was trying to force it to go where he wanted it to go because, you know, you're trying to limit damage and you're trying to keep dudes from scoring. And, you know, that's why you see him out there. I don't know about you, but when's the last time you could hear him actually verbally yelling and screaming at himself?
No.
Never. I've never heard that. And you could hear that tonight because they understand how, you know, if you give up a 3-run homer in the fifth inning, that game's probably over. So, yeah, I think I said this on August 1st whenever they didn't do anything to bring anybody in to help the offense, that if I'm on the pitching side, I'm chapped. Like, I've done my part, all the four-man rotation and making the adjustments they've had to make and carrying it and being the best rotation in baseball, be the best pitching staff in baseball, and nothing was done. And I'm sure there's some tension there. Like, there's some, you know, we're doing our part. Where are you guys at? Look, I've been in big league clubhouses. I know how that is. Like, you start – there's starting to be some separation, right? You're in your corner, I'm in mine, and it's not a together kind of thing. And I'm not saying that's the way it is because I'm not the clubhouse, but boy, sure got that feel to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, and that was one of the issues behind Charlie Montoyo getting fired.
Yeah.
There was a fracture in that clubhouse between the pitchers and the hitters. Now, I'm not saying that they were thrown down at each other or anything like that, but, you know, there was definitely some tension and put yourself in their position. Right now, they know what's going on. The pitchers know what's going on.
Yeah, if I know they're scoring 4 runs a game in August, you don't think they know that?
This is John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, talking about the decision to leave Alejandro Kirk in the game in the 8th inning.
Yeah, I mean, we were a little short. Brandon wasn't available. We had guys playing everywhere, you know, Biz at short, Davis at third, you know, kind of a lot of moving parts. Tying run, yeah, we would have had a runner there. Down by 2, no.
Well, I mean, there's your explanation. I don't get it. But there's your explanation. Yeah. Brandon Belt's not Brandon Belt's not pinch running. I'm interested in Mason McCoy. Hell, I'm interested in putting Yusei Kikuchi in there as a pinch runner. Anybody but having Alejandro Kirk on a third base. And I understand the philosophy. If it's a tying run, yeah. But, man, you got – I mean, Kevin, you're not – if I'm John Schneider, I'm not expecting the tying run to come up at any point. I'm just not. I got a chance to score a run here. I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, and remember, too, George Springer's coming up third in the next inning. If you're down a run, he could get it down and get it singing, party out front, tie the game that way. I'm not in that camp, especially when you're in August and you're having the issues scoring runs that they are, and you have the slowest dude on earth at third base. Look, you take your chances. McCoy's here for a reason. If McCoy has to hit, he has to hit. It is.
You've seen Alejandro Kirk all year. Is that a big drop off? I don't know.
He's got 50 at bats in August. He's got 2 RBIs. It's not like you're breathing and can't wait to keep him in the lineup.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590-54. Another gut punch delivered to the Toronto Blue Jays, this time by the Washington Nationals. We will take a break and come back and look at the out-of-town scoreboard. I just don't know if I want to look at the out-of-town scoreboard because I'm looking at it right now and I see a whole hell of a lot of ugly, but we'll do it anyhow. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
That always be the way that you handle the pinch runner, is that it has to be the tying run, because that DH spot wasn't coming up again, and McCoy was there.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way we're looking at it. You know, you pinch hit Varsh there, you're looking to do damage, you know, to try to take the lead and clip a homer. You know, you never know. There's way the game goes, you know, a lot of different ways to where, you know, crazy shit happens and you get into the 11th inning and that spot comes up and you want Kirky at the plate. So, kind of a general rule of thumb. Yeah, for sure. The odds of a medium depth fly ball with an average throwing outfielder and Kirky at third was probably last on my bingo card.
I mean, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm not looking ahead to the 11th inning. And quite frankly, as I've said, based on what I've seen of Alejandro Kirk this year, Alejandro Kirk rolling up to the plate in the 11th inning doesn't scream game over to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, John's got a little bit more confidence in him than I think most do.
Yeah, I think John, that's a good way to that's a good way to put it. 5-4, the Blue Jays losing to the Washington Nationals tonight. Time now for the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. With Bet365, you can bet on things like player props, totals, or game outcomes across many different sports. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. Let's look at the wild card. No bueno, folks. The Houston Astros beat the Boston Red Sox 6-2, which I guess is good only in that it puts the Red Sox even farther behind the Blue Jays. Of course, Washington beating Toronto 5-4. The Texas Rangers, they dusted off the New York Mets 2-1. And, hey, this is good news. The Oakland Athletics are leading Seattle 3-0. That's what we're reduced to, fans. We're reduced to cheering for the Oakland Athletics. Talk about no hope. This is the wild card standings. The Tampa Bay Rays, they are 81-52. Texas is 75-57. Houston is 76-58. The Jays are 72-61, three back of the Astros in the loss column, four back in the win column. The Astros one more game against the Boston Red Sox. A couple of a little update. We mentioned Brandon Belt was not available. John Schneider saying that he had lower back spasms, so he was not available. I'll go back to the phone lines in a minute. Want to remind you that tomorrow's a 3:07 first pitch. Shohei Ali will host the Jays pregame show at 2 o'clock. The network game starts at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Mr. Barker and myself will be on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet Television after the Jays and Nationals game. Again, a 3:07 first pitch. Mark in Vancouver, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah, so look, I just wanted to ask about, like, earlier in the game, I hear about Barker talk about it all the time, being ready for the fastball. And to me, the epitome of that is Davis Schneider. Okay, this kid comes up from AAA, and most of the time he gets a fastball, he nails it. There's at bats earlier in the game, Springer, Vladdy, 3, 4, 5 fastballs in the middle of the zone from the starting pitcher tonight, and they can't handle that. I don't know what's going on with them, but like, do you guys know what's happening? They're not timing it up. Like, what's going on with these guys?
I'll turn it over to Barker. He's been in the batter's box.
Yeah, I would always say that the only way you're going to hit 97 is to look for 97. Gore threw 63 fastballs. You saw Witt was late on some fastballs. You saw Vladdy was late on some fastballs. George Springer was late on some fastballs. Yeah, sometimes it'll make you scratch your head. Like, why would I look for a dude slider if nobody else can hit it?
I don't understand.
I got a better chance of hitting the one that's straight than I do the one that has nasty break to it. And a dude that has over 7 feet of extension, which means that the ball, it's breaking and getting on you quicker. And it's just being ready to hit is nobody's fault but your own. And when you're not, you can't point the finger at the khakis or Ross Atkins or the manager or the hitting coach. You're the one standing in the box. You're the dude that's facing the lefty that's throwing 63 fastballs. Yeah, sooner or later, it's August. It's going to be September in like 3 days. I all of a sudden I think they're going to look like they're ready for fastballs 1 through 9. You're seeing is what you're getting.
I think it is indeed. Billy and Markham. What's up, Billy? How are you, man?
Guys, I'm just in disbelief. Listen, I'm gonna start early in the day. You know, Jeff, earlier in your career, you had on Mark Shapiro when he first took over from Alex, and we were allowed to talk to him. And I think I was the only guy in Toronto that wanted Mark Shapiro here, and I wanted Ross Atkins, and I still do. But that garbage that I listened to this afternoon on your show from Ross Atkins, I just shook my head in disbelief and said, there's no way you can actually believe this. We are not all hockey fans here in Toronto. We're not this stupid, Ross. This is the worst garbage I've heard come out of his mouth. I hear John Paul Morosi early in the morning on the morning show say something that I've said for a year and a half here, that maybe it's time to trade our first baseman. Maybe that's the problem on this team. I would love to sit on King Street with a bunch of our veteran players who've had a few pops in them and see what they really think about our first baseman. Again, I mean, yesterday they pitched to him and they put George Springer on. How mm-hmm. is this guy a superstar? This is not a call about Vladdy. Just forget that. Kevin, you said it perfect about Biggio. Biggio's out at third base if that's not ball four.
Yeah,
he's out at third base. Yesterday, Espinal swinging at a 3-0 pitch. How about Danny Jansen, our last hope? The count is 3-1. What have I tried to preach on this show a million times? You've got to zone a guy when you have the count 3-1. Danny Jansen gets caught swinging at a splitter in the dirt. Is that a 3-1 pitch that you're looking for, Danny? You got to be looking middle in, and you've done it before, and hit it out of the park, or at least let the next guy get on. I mean, let the next guy get a chance to win a game. Guys, I'm going to make this very simple. It comes down to the Texas series. It's going to come down to what we do against Texas. We've got to sweep them. I mean, we're still not out of it, but Texas is the weakest team left, and Texas is the team we got to beat. But I'm gonna end this call like this. You're not going to like this, Kevin. You're not going to like this at all, so get ready to rip me, and I don't really care. John Schneider is not a good manager. He is not a good manager, and it's about time we get a veteran in there that doesn't go all the way to Seattle on his days off to pitch batting practice to his protege. He's probably right now rushing back into the dugout to feed Vladdy with a fork and a spoon with the post-game spread. This is just gone on too much, and John Schneider is not a big league manager. That's it. Later, fellas.
Billy and Markham. We'll put Billy down as being undecided about John Schneider. Kevin, do you want to handle that? I mean, I got to say this. I mean, about the interview with Ross Atkins. I mean, I've said this time and again. Ross Atkins isn't the most quotable GM I've covered. He's not the worst, least quotable GM I've covered. He's not J.P. Ricciardi or Alex Anthopoulos, but I've covered guys who are worse than that. Ross Atkins is never going to come up and back the truck over people. He's just not. That's not the way he's wired. That, quite frankly, isn't the way he got. Isn't how he got where he is. I as far as John Schneider goes, I mean, look. What I made this point when we were talking about that yesterday about that botched decision regarding the instant replay, and it didn't end up really hurting the Jays. But my point is this: when a team starts scuffling, people start looking at decisions that weren't made, stuff that didn't happen. I can remember Buck Rogers being fired and people saying, I knew Buck lost the plot when he pinch ran Otis Nixon for somebody and then bunted him over. What's the point of pinch running a guy who's got 40 steals and then bunting him over? People are like that. And I get the sense that tonight it's going to be one of those games. People are going to look back and go, well, yeah, but remember the night when he left Alejandro Kirk on third base against the Washington Nationals? I hear what Billy's saying, man. I hear what Billy's saying. I like John. I happen to think he's a good manager. But I know other people don't feel that way, and I'm beginning to think I'm in the minority.
Yeah, that's fair. I think everybody has a bad night, but I will say this, and I think I am in the minority when it comes to blaming the players. John was not 1 for 11 with runners in scoring position.
No. All right. You're right. Let's go to Russ in New Jersey.
Yeah. What am I supposed to say after this one? First of all, I think you guys in the beginning of the show made a great point about, you know, you're talking about the pitchers and, you know, when one side of the ball is going well, and the pitchers this year, you know, you can throw 82 pitches, the exact same 82 pitches, but when it's every game you're in is a 3-2 or 3-1 or two, mm-hmm. you know, 4-2, it takes a much bigger toll on you mentally, and that's why in the playoffs, you know, every pitch they always say is like 3 pitches because, you know, it's these pitchers have dealt with, they very rarely have laughers, and it's hard to go out there every night and know you have to be basically perfect because the team can't score. Now, you know, the frustrating thing is we talked about under 500. Oh, great, we're going against Cleveland. We're going against Washington. Well, you're 2-3. You look at Houston, you know who is the closest to you. They walked into Boston and won 2 games. So it's just, you know, I thought Tampa, you know, everyone spoke about Tampa falling off.
Wrong. Yep.
Yeah, they got all those injuries, and then they lose Juan DeFranco to his craziness. So, you know, I think the caller before said, right, I think Texas, I don't know what's happened to that team, but last night they barely beat the Mets. They got a 2-out hit to win that game 3-2, and today they win 2-1. So, you know, that might be the weakest link, but you got to start winning ball games to make that, you know, 4-game series mean something. So I'll be at the Rogers Center tomorrow. I'm going to fly in, watch them play, and hopefully something turns around here, because I can't believe we're saying the words, they may not make the playoffs. It's crazy, but, you know, I think it's starting to turn in a bit of a reality now if they don't really get their act together. And they better sweep Colorado and Oakland. And I'm not that type of guy. You can lose to anybody, but it's that time of year. 4 out of 6 is not going to do it against those two teams. You got to get terrible baseball teams. Go sweep them, okay? And let's see what happens. But it just I can't believe it anymore. I can't watch it anymore.
Russ, listen, I appreciate the call, and I'll tell you, Russ makes a good point. Kevin, I don't know about you, but if my pitchers are wearing down a little bit, you know where I don't want them going? I don't want them having to pitch in Colorado if my pitchers are wearing down a little bit. And I think that's something – I think that's a concern.
Yeah, it's a thing. Like, they're going to have to adjust routines and, you know, they're going to have to lean on Kevin Gausman. He's from there. Like, figure out how to mentally grind through it. They're going to do it. They're a good enough staff. They'll figure out ways to not throw as many breaking balls, throw more elevated fastballs, right? Make an adjustment because they're good enough to do that. We're going to get back to that 1 for 11 with runners in scoring position. Be better at that. Like, that's where it starts. Be better.
Key and Maple, he got the last call. Take us home, my friend.
Guys, what's that, huh? Playoffs.
We'll talk playoffs?
Are you kidding me? Playoffs? I just want to win a series. Let me just get my inner Jim Mora out of there. Listen, I kind of agree with the last couple of callers. Like, the Texas series is where it's going to have to come down to. And, you know, we'll have to be within 2 games. If you win 3 out of 4, you're within a game with a couple of weeks to go. So my call-in is just about Schneider and Atkins, like everyone else. I mean, first of all, I was shocked when I heard the call up today. I mean, this was a perfect opportunity to bring up another bat, and you're going to bring up some kid who's probably going to be on the bench. He's only going to be there to maybe pinch run or playing defensively. And what happens today? He's perfect scenario to pinch run for the slowest guy. What did Berger say in the stadium, in the city? And it basically cost us the game. The manager is not putting us in the position to win the game. And I get the players. They, you know, going 1 for 11 or whatever it was in scoring position is one thing, but you got to be able as a GM and a manager to put your best players out there. And the answer that Schneider gave when I was just listening to that and listening to Atkins this morning, like, we got Tito D and Tito Dumb in our hands. I'm sorry. This is the worst manager. I thought Montoyo, no, we couldn't do worse than Montoyo. I honestly believe Schneider, we're talking about this every day, every game. Why didn't Schneider do this? Why didn't Schneider do that? This has never happened. I've never seen this in my life in 45 years of watching the Jays. Never. So I totally agree with what you guys were saying about the players having to hit for themselves. But guys, come on, man. Atkins and Schneider, there's got to be some accountability here. And I don't believe they're going to let go of Schneider. And I don't believe they're going to let go of Atkins. 30 years of nothing. We haven't won anything in 30 years. And it's just a whole lot of fluff they're selling us. I'm just very frustrated. I'll hang up and listen.
I think Guy speaks, you know, he speaks for a lot of people. I made his point a little earlier. This is hugely disappointing. I mean, I can't stress that enough. This is disappointing. If this team doesn't make the playoffs, it's going to be one of the biggest disappointments the past, I don't know what, 10 years? I mean, the COVID year, you know, the COVID, it was an odd year. They gave it a go. They were in it until the last day. We know all about that. But and last year, I was disappointed in the outcome of the playoffs. But you know what? Sometimes team has to get into the playoffs, take a step back to take a step forward, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. I did not expect this year. I did not expect that we would be sitting. I thought we'd be sitting here saying, you know what, man, they may not be able to win the East, right? They may not be able to win the East because Baltimore's really good and Tampa's there. It's going to be a close fight. And now I'm looking at, you know, basically, I mean, I cannot believe I'm watching the Texas Rangers. I'm watching the out-of-town scoreboard to see what the Texas freaking Rangers are doing. I just can't. At no point this year did I think I'd be looking at the out-of-town scoreboard, you know, hoping for a miracle. Like, 3 games is long. That's a big haul.
They got 29 games left. We'll see what they're made of.
Yes. And I'm hoping that the answer isn't what I think the answer is going to be. Becoming more and more of a skeptic. The good thing is you get to do it again tomorrow. The better thing is that 3:07 first pitch. Barker and myself will be on after the game. Show Ali with an hour-long pregame show at 2 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising, and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection. For a special summer offer on rust protection, visit crown.com today.